It's a special bonus episode.
Y'all, you don't even know what we've had to do for this episode.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my technologically challenged friend, Ian.
That, it, me.
Easy for you to say. We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us for this very special bonus episode. Normally here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our somewhat finely crafted thoughts, and talk about some other things, but we're not doing that.
No.
Tonight, we are talking about ourselves.
That's right.
A little bit of a peek behind the proverbial curtain, if you will.
That's right. Well, welcome. Welcome to this more casual episode of Getting to Know Us.
Yes.
So, Jared, as we always start these episodes, I have a question for you.
Is it how to operate Discord correctly?
I wish I would ask that earlier than right now.
Just a quick peek behind the curtain, friends listening at home. This is also our first episode where we are not recording together in person, and it has not gone swimmingly to this point. Hence,
it really has
the
not.
Technology jokes. But alas, Ian, what is your question?
Yeah, so let's start with this.
Okay.
What, since this is a board game podcast, how did you first get into board gaming? What was your first experience? What did you like? How did you find the hobby?
I have kind of two separate answers to this. One, when I was a child, and then I kind of left this scene, and then once when I was reintroduced as an adult. So as a child, I loved the Pokemon trading card game. We played that a lot as a kid and collected cards, as most kids did in the 90s. And that was a really fun time, in a way that I was able to make a lot of friends and things like that. I was also exposed to a game called HeroScape as a child. Lots of fun, lots of epic battles. And we had a lot of fun with that, but after a while, it became a thing where video games were more fun and were really on the up and up. I mean, you know, even just the jump from Sega Genesis to the first PlayStation was just wild. And so it kind of pulled me away from the tabletop genre for a while. But then as an adult, I got married to my lovely wife, Anna, and she is not good at video games. And so I had this conundrum where I really wanted to do things together as a couple. And so we were kind of exploring what those avenues could look like. And I'd always really enjoyed games all the time, no matter what format they took. And a good friend of mine, one of my oldest friends at this point, Josh Taylor, had us over for a night of fellowship like he would have all the time. And he pulled me aside and a couple other friends. He's like, I got to show you guys this. And he had Catan already set up at the table.
And oh, boy.
We proceeded to play. I split the map down the middle with my longest road, and I haven't looked back since. And so that was my reintroduction into this hobby. And then before I knew it, I had a couple hundred games on my wall.
Nice.
What about you, man?
So, yeah, I grew up on Monopoly and, you know, all the life and whatever.
Sure.
All the games. And I remember when I was like 12, I went to it was a board game coffee shop. Well, it was a coffee shop that had like 10 games.
Okay.
And so my cousin invited us to go and play at their like weekly or monthly game night or whatever. And so a bunch of guys brought some board games and, I liked board games and we played some other stuff. We played a lot of Clue and like whatever. So I'd already dabbled in like just the classic games.
Right.
And so get to this gaming event, and we played a game called Nuclear War. Very interesting, just blow each other up game, card game.
Okay.
Fine. It was fun as a young, close to teen. I was probably close to being a teenager at that point. Anyway, it was like, whatever, blowing up stuff, great. You know, come on, kill everybody on the board and all the cards. If you've never played that game, it's very interesting because all the cards have just a ton of silly art. The game's silly. It's just silly. And so we played that, but then we played a game of Puerto Rico. And so that was the first time I'd played something that deep and that strategic and just a lot of moving pieces. And it just drew me in immediately. I was like, this is the coolest game ever. Like, unbelievable. And that just blew my mind. And so after that, I think I got back home and I was like, man, I play this game. I got to get this game. And so I ended up buying that. I ended up buying Ticket to Ride, Memoir of 44. Dominion was on the list at some like later down, and boom, like those were like the first games I ever bought. And from there, it just exploded. Started going to gaming events, and met other people that loved games, and boom, just from there. So that was kind of my first experience with a very large, more hobby game and not just something at a big box store. I did eventually buy HeroScape also, and that also really blew up because I bought and that was when it was going out of print. And so I found a way to get it. It literally went out of print as I really started buying. And I actually got like a Dungeons and Dragons box.
Oh, that's so cool.
Multiple things at Walmart. Walmart still had it somehow.
I remember those times.
Yep. So that's when I finally picked that up. And so anyway, that was kind of the first set of games. And yeah, I don't know exactly how old it was. It was probably like early teen, somewhere around there.
Very cool.
Yeah, so tell me about yourself, family, and all that. I think some people do know already, but what you got?
So I am married to my wife, Anna. We've been married for 11 years now, and we have three girls. Faith is the oldest, and she's going to be turning 7 in September. Joy is 5 and Hope is 3. And you might actually hear Faith on the podcast at some point. We're working on some ideas, and so we'll see how it goes. But love being a dad, love introducing games to the family. Ann and I have played games our entire marriage, and it's been a lot of fun and one of the ways that we get to really bond. Outside of that, I don't currently have a career, and so I am looking for what's next. I've been in the customer service industry for 17 years and was laid off from Lyft, the rideshare company, back in April, and have been kind of looking for what's next since then. Somehow found a way to be more busy than when I had a job over the summer, so you know, there's that. But we'll definitely see what's next. What about you, Ian?
Yeah, so my wife, Julia, we've been married for 7 years this July, and I've always introduced games to her and then my own family for that, all of that. And yeah, she loves games too, not as much as me. She likes very specific games, but she will always play a game. No kids, not yet. One day.
Yeah.
And then career, I'm a nurse in Nashville, and I've been doing that since 2020.
Nice.
That's had its ups and downs, but I do currently like my job, and who knows where we'll go from there. But I do like it, and it's been good. It's been, COVID was bad, but we're through that. So
the dark days.
Yep. But
let me take one, because I was kind of thinking about this jumping into tonight, and I'm trying to remember exactly. I can't remember exactly how this happened, but when did we first meet?
We met at The Calling.
One of our church retreats. Yeah, I couldn't remember if I'd met you before that, because one of Anna's brothers played baseball with you, And so I couldn't remember if I had met you at that point or not.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I did play. Yeah, I did play with them. I don't think I would have met you. You might have seen me, and I might have seen you, but we never actually met at a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't recall ever meeting any. I do know I definitely talked to you for the first time for sure at the Calling, I believe.
Yeah, and we found out we both love board games, and you started coming to my...
Yeah, so what happened is we met there, and then... Like what you overheard somehow, I think that I did. And then you saw something on Facebook of me posting about a game. And maybe I commented on one of your posts on Facebook.
This all sounds right. Whatever. The glory days of Facebook back in the day.
Yeah, that's right. This is when Facebook was popping off. Not today. This is
years ago.
Yeah. And so, this is probably 10 years ago now.
I think it is, because I'm thinking back to how long ago we started those game nights, and that was when we really started hanging out, those.
Before I got married, I came to your house. But and then you messaged me on Facebook. I know this is how it happened. And so you messaged me on Facebook. I was like, you said, oh, you like games. You should come to one of my church nights, gaming nights. And I was like, dope, let's do it. And so you sent me all the information, whatever, and I showed up. And I remember the conversation we had. You're like, you like all these games? And I was like, yeah, I like all of these games. You're like, what?
I hadn't met one before that was like into all of them. And so
right. So I was like, yeah. So anyway, and then from there we found multiple games that we really liked. Star Wars X-Wing.
Oh man.
I think from there you were like, let's come over and play X-Wing. And so I think that was really the first game I came over and we actually played a lot. I might have come over and played maybe with the group you had at your house or something. Anyway, but yeah. That's kind of how it went down.
The part that I really remember was it was one of the first times you came to the church to do a game night, and we were playing Seven Wonders, and I remember us talking smack, like barely having really engaged one another at all. And I was like, this is perfection. This is what I've wanted my entire life. And it's right here. And a relationship was born.
Oh, that's true. I do remember that game of Seven Wonders. Yeah. Seven Wonders is a great game. I still really like Seven Wonders.
It's
still have my copy.
There you go. So, nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So speaking of games, so everybody has a list of games that they like and love, and they have their top game. But what are one question? What is your top five games? We'll go with five. And this is just games that you've most enjoyed. It is not games that, you know, like these are the best games of all time. It's just, what do you like most? And then I can give my two cents.
Sure. Yeah. These are in no particular order, but I am glancing over at my shelf to make sure I haven't missed something.
You don't want to miss anything. Yeah. And these are in no particular order. These are just games that we love and will always play. And that always have a good experience with, at least for my behalf.
So the first one, and I do want us to review this game at some point. Stockpile is one of my favorite games and has never disappointed me. So it's a very dumbed down, stock market concept, where it's very easy to get people in. And you run through a round and say, that's how you play the game. And you go four or five more rounds, and whoever has the most money wins. It's easy to get in. It's easy to understand. And it's a really fun play. So Stockpile is one of my five. My next one would be Ark Nova. Ark Nova is a heavier game that's all about building out your zoo, going on various conservation projects and other things that zoos do. I get really fulfilled by building things like that. So that's one of the ones that I'm really enjoying a lot right now. One for me that I don't think will ever leave my list is, actually, I'm going to go ahead and throw two in here that I always enjoy it every time I play it. I will never say no to it. and that is Between Two Cities and Dead of Winter. We played Dead of Winter not too long ago with a couple of new people, and I just always enjoy that game. I don't understand. Yeah. I think I do understand why people hate it, but it's just a roaring good time anytime that I play it, and I love both of those. And so one more, I think I have to go with Five Tribes. It's such a good game of worker displacement where you're taking pieces off the board and something ends up happening as a result. The board is modular as well as the pieces, so no two games are ever going to be the same. It gives a really good brain burner feel without overstaying its welcome. And I always have an excellent time with this one. So Five Tribes wraps up my top five. What about you?
Yeah, no particular order. Wingspan. I was able to play a game of Wingspan Saturday, actually.
Nice.
And this will be out well after this, but a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I played a game of Wingspan, and it's just fun. It's just too good. I played it with my wife's family, and they loved it, and they keep asking for more, so I'll probably get another expansion. It's just too good. And I, you know, listen to the review. It's great. I love that game. Another game that has really just, it's so good. Batman Gotham City Chronicles.
Nice.
And this is a
we don't play this game
Kickstarter
enough.
Game. Yeah, it's a Kickstarter game, and it's like impossible to find until they come up with another Kickstarter. It's not sold in other areas, but it is a 1v3 or less Batman versus the villain. And the villain is the one the villain will play the goons and a main villain normally. And he plays against the heroes, and there are certain objectives. Every single game is different, and it's just phenomenal. It has plenty of issues with the rules and minor symbols and whatever. But I've figured ways to adapt that and whatever. Overall, the game always comes down to the last turn. Everybody has a good time. You feel like you're playing Batman, and it's so good. Highly recommend if you ever have an opportunity to play that, do it, 'cause it's awesome. Another one is Awkward Guests. This is a very interesting game. The art is not appealing. It's like basically black and brown and white. It is Clue, though, for adults. It is like a way more in-depth version of Clue. It is so much fun. I love deduction. And this just brings out, because I grew up on Clue. And so being able to play a game that takes the great parts of Clue, trying to deduce where things happen. And again, there's a murder inside a house, and you're trying to figure out who did it with what weapon and how did they get there and what their motive was. And you have to track them, and you have a big sheet, and you're trying to figure out how they got from the room they started in to the study, which is where the person was murdered. And you get there, and it's just, you're trying to figure it all out, and all the weapons and all the different, and it's all card based. You share cards like Clue. It's just done so well. Phenomenal game. I love it so much. That's one that my family loves, and Julia loves, and it's just a game we will always play. It's always a good time.
What's that one again?
Awkward Guests.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a very small publisher. They have another, game in that kind of, genre. I don't like that one as much. I forget what that one's called, actually. Scandal Ho or something like that. But it's solid. It's just very different. Awkward Guess is a great one to start with, for sure. Another, like, kind of a fourth. This, I don't play this, like, ever. But I do know that Twilight Struggle is one of my favorite games, though, because I love the history behind it.
Yep.
And it is a two-player Cold War card-playing game. And it's also area control, and you're managing the board with influence all over. You're managing all the countries, putting influence down in all the different countries. But each card in the game is specific to a historical event that happened. And so it's crazy. You learn stuff about history, about the Cold War, just by playing the game. It's crazy. And that's one of the coolest things. Every single card, all the art, everything about it is all based off history, And do you know the whole thing is, do you rewrite history? Yes, because in the game, you can like the way you play the events can change the outcome of what history was, which the nuclear war didn't, you know, happen or whatever. But every card, though, is historical, and you learn so much about how, you know, this the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it, like, you just feel like you're playing the Cold War, mm-hmm. because there's no bombs, there's no soldiers, it's straight up just conflict within a card game with influence. You're putting influence on the board, and you're just trying to gain victory points in the end. But it just, it's so, it's a perfect two-player game. It's very intense, very long, very strategic. It's hard to get into, but it's a solid game.
It's wild to me that you and I have not played this yet.
I know. We should. And then, honestly, I said no particular order, but Marvel Champions is on my, is my number one.
I purposely did not say that one because I knew you would.
Marvel Champions is by far my favorite game. It's a cooperative game, and stay tuned. There may be a review at some point for this game.
And by maybe, you mean definitely.
Yeah. But it is a cooperative game, card-based. You build a deck of a hero. You get to pick whatever Marvel hero you want, basically. I mean, there's so many at this point. And you play up against a villain, and you get to fight the Goonies and as minions and as even strong minions or whatever, and you play against them, and it's all card-based. It's just so good. You get to play as a team, fully cooperative, and you're coordinating with your teammates to try and attack the villain, thwart their schemes, attack and deal damage to them in the end. That's how you win, is by defeating them with hit points. But the villain throws a lot of different things at you, of trying to manage the board and all that fun stuff. And so that's just, that game is phenomenal. You'll hear our review at some point of it. But that one's definitely on the top of the list, honestly.
Awesome, man. What about, what have been some of your favorite moments or memories centered around tabletop gaming?
I have one, and it was Batman. It was the Batman game. And this happens a lot, honestly, in this game. That's why I love it so much, is it came down, the villain, you know, you play through a certain amount of rounds or whatever, and you get to the point and you're in the last turn. And so in this scenario, the Batman and Nightwing and Robin, or Catwoman, Nightwing and Batman are trying to defuse the last bomb inside the train station that Bane has initiated. And so I'm the villain. Most of the time, I kind of let the other players play. But I have set it up. Basically, I put in a strong effort to get it down to the last turn. And there's one bomb that they have to defuse. And I put everybody in the way. Everybody. And it gets down to, they've moved into the correct location. They've knocked out my minions that are standing, holding guard of the bomb. And one of the heroes, you know, there's a lot of dice in that game. So they roll some dice and they fail to defuse the bomb. Okay, cool. There is Batman left. Batman has, at this point, kicked down three of my minions, my brutes. He's beaten up Bane. He comboed into all of them. With that, the person who is playing Batman and has literally just not rested the entire game. And in most of Batman games, you have to rest to gain some energy back. He has not rested the entire game.
That's wild.
The entire game. He is running off 1 to 2 energy, but he is still beating down my troops and defusing bombs earlier in the game. And he gets to the final point. He has to defeat two of my brutes. He does. He beats one and then combos into the other one. And then he has like 2 energy left to try and do the successful bomb defuse. And so he picks up his dice and he shakes them up and throws them. I mean, this is it. If he misses, it's over. I win. But he picks up and shakes, and he throws it into the dice tower. And it's like one like slowly like pops out, and it's like a, you know, a triple, and he needs like 5 successes. And the next one, I don't know if it got caught or something, that it slowly comes down. Everybody just anticipating what the result is. It's a two. And he defuses the bomb on the very, very last possible roll. If he didn't roll, it's over. I win the game.
Yep.
And I remember, like, it was my two brothers and my cousin. They just fully jump up. I think they might have hit the ceiling. They might have hit the ceiling. But just electric. And I'm sitting there. It was just such an awesome moment to see other people be that ecstatic, because I love games so much, but to see that excitement. Yeah. And again, that game is so much fun just to sit and watch by itself that I don't care. I like everybody to have a good time in that. And that was just so cool, because I watched the dice fall out of his hand. And I'm like, well, this is it. This is the die roll. And I just remember it, and just everybody exploded off of that. It was so cool. It was a great experience. And that's not the only time that has actually happened. It's come down to the last die roll multiple times.
That's cool.
But I remember that being a very specific one with my two brothers and cousin.
That game's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What about you?
I think, well, so I'm going to cheat a little bit, because I don't think this particular memory or moment, it trumps any one game moment.
Sure.
Every year for the last few years now, we have run what some have called JaredCon, where we get somewhere between 20 and 30 people. We go up to a house up on the lake, a little bit, about 40 minutes north of where we are, and we spend a week of gaming. I typically put together everything as far as organizing and getting the food and all that, and just spend the whole week playing games and hosting and cooking. And it is just, it is one of the highlights of my year every single time that we do it. Getting to teach people new games, watching as, you know, you're in the middle of this really intense battle of whatever on the table, and in the room next door, you hear this, yeah, like there's just this eruption of applause, and just being able to create that atmosphere where everybody's having a good time. It breathes life into me in a way that most things do not. So for me, putting together this getaway that happens once a year is by far the mountaintop experience of tabletop memories that I have. It is just, and you've been every time, and that's been great. And it has just been, it's a highlight, and it encompasses everything that I love. I love being able to bring people together where they are enjoying themselves and able to they're able to grow closer together and connect. It's just a good time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So besides games, what else are your other hobbies in life?
Well, I don't video game too much anymore. I got old and the games got too fast for me. So, and I took too much time off. I went back to even some of the ones that I was really good at, like Halo, and I was like, man, I'm just not as good as I used to be.
Man.
But it's okay. But I do a lot of, I love sports. I grew up playing hockey. So anytime a hockey game is on or a football game is on, you can believe it that I will be in front of the TV checking that out. I obviously love playing with my kids. We love going to the zoo together, or we always go to the park all the time. We like to, like I said, I introduce them to games, but I also introduce them to some of the other stuff that I grew up with. For example, I'm about to introduce Faith, when she turns 7, to the cartoon Avatar The Last Airbender. So she's going to experience some of the things from my childhood, which is cool. I dabble in woodworking. Some people are more impressed with my skills than I am, but I dabble. And
I'm impressed.
Yes, I know. I appreciate it. Let's see. Other than that, I make a podcast. I want to make multiple podcasts. That's my hobby.
There you go.
So we'll see how it goes.
He makes podcasts, by the way.
Well, I make a podcast. Someday I will make more than one podcast, is my hope.
That's right.
So.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
What about you?
I have, honestly, too many hobbies, it feels like. That's what my wife has told me anyway. But no, I drum. I love playing music. I play it at church and on my own stuff and record some videos for that. I am into video games. I play a lot of sports games. I play hockey and then some other shooters, and those are fun. So I get into that. I've gone and played hockey, a little skating.
Nice.
Working out. Yeah, just a little bit of everything.
Board
gaming podcast.
When you play hockey, are you in line or are you on the ice?
No, it's ice, but I've mostly just gone to like the stick and puck. I would like to join a league at some point. My brother does that.
Okay.
So I kind of just skate around, shoot. Sometimes some goalies show up and we'll be able to shoot on them and stuff, but
that's cool.
At some point I might want to, I'm not a very good, I'm okay skater. I can stop, but not if I were like fully giving all speed, I would probably hurt myself. I'd fall down into the boards and kill myself.
That's okay. A lot of people do that.
Right. All fun.
Sweet.
All games.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No. So
this is still within tabletop games, but you and I don't talk about it a lot because you're not really into it. But I do a lot of D&D, both as a DM and a player. Ann and I will play a lot together, and we'll bring other people in, and that's a way to connect as well.
Nice.
So yeah.
Yeah. No, there's always something. The outdoors obviously is always one that most people do, but, yeah, we like to go on our walks and stuff around the neighborhood, and we like to go on trips, take photos. I do have a nice Nikon, so anytime we go somewhere, I take the Nikon, and I like taking good photography. So
sweet. Do you have a favorite place that you go that's like within driving distance of Tennessee?
We go out to the Johnson City area, which is that's the end of the line for Tennessee, but 4.5 hours. And we go up to Run Mountain. It's one of the most beautiful places. I feel like it's one of the highest. It's on the Appalachian Trail. And so it's one of the highest points. And we usually go in the winter. So it's just like 5 feet of snow up there.
Nice.
It is just view for miles. There's no cell service. It's just like, it's heavenly. Some of the pictures I've had up there are just, I've had some of them printed. And they're just, absolutely beautiful. If you ever have an opportunity to go to that area, it is remarkable. It's just really cool.
That's
awesome.
Very
beautiful. Yeah, you're really beautiful area.
Cool. All right, dude, we're gonna do some rapid fire. Rapid fire.
Pew pew pew.
And since there's two of us and we're both answering the questions, I guess we'll tag back and forth. So I'll ask a question, then we'll both answer. And then you'll ask a question, we'll both answer back and forth, whatever.
Okay.
All right. We'll start off with a doozy.
Okay.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, me too. Blue.
Hey, look at there.
If I have to get more specific, I would say cayenne.
No, I don't have a specific. Well, just in general. It's just the color that I wear the most of, and so it ends up being the one.
Nice.
All right. Your go-to like song. And I don't even know whatever that means to you, because it changes for me. So
yeah, it changes for me too. So I am not musically inclined at all. You mentioned drumming. I just like songs, and I know that like games or movies or whatever, each song has its place for a specific purpose. But I think the one that I often revert back to most is Hero by Pegboard Nerds.
Nice. I do listen to a lot of music. So it's really tough for me to come up with like one as a go-to.
What is the one song to rule them all?
I mean, something from the Lord of the Rings soundtrack, right? I mean,
not where I expected you to go, to be honest, but that's all right.
I legitimately just don't know if I have it changes. Like this week could be like, I've listened to this song like 5 times, but like next week it'll be a totally different song.
Let's just commit to the here and now. What is your go-to song today?
Oh, that's still so hard to
do. Nope, you said you had a song. You listened to it like five times. Come on.
No, I've been listening. There's a Need to Breathe is my favorite band. So it's probably it's The Cave. I've been listening to that. They have a single out.
Nice.
So they're coming out with an album. So yeah, it's probably that one. Okay. It's something to Need to Breathe probably on the regular.
Sorry
yeah.
to I mean, tie it, you up in knots on that question.
Yeah, whatever. Fine.
Ice cream flavor of choice.
Something to do with peanut butter.
Oh, interesting.
Anything. Peanut butter.
Okay.
Yeah, what about you?
Ben and Jerry's brownie batter is to die
okay,
for.
That's pretty good. that one's pretty good. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, that one is good. All right. TV show or movie that has influenced you in one direction or another, however you want to take that question, but
yes. I think without question, the TV show is Community. Without question. It is my favorite show. It is a show that had to claw and scrape to stay on the air for six seasons, but it was the most beautiful mess that I've ever experienced in my entire life.
The Office for me.
Okay.
I have so many Office quotes that just pour out of me. Either that or SpongeBob, one of the two.
SpongeBob's pretty good. It is very influential, for sure.
You don't realize how many of each of those that I just like spew out. I was like, where did these come from? I don't know. Who was that? That was definitely Patrick Starr.
Nice.
But yeah.
Do you have a favorite SpongeBob character just off the script here?
I mean, Patrick. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Like, I like Patrick. He just says the stupidest things and it's so funny.
Nice. I have a weird draw towards the, and I'm going to say it this way because it's not just SpongeBob, but the greedy scumbag. So Mr. Krabs in SpongeBob's,
Yep.
Watto in Star Wars, characters like that. Just really,
that's what you like.
Well, it's not so much that I like it. It's that I'm like, oh, this is so real. Like it cracks me up on a different level.
Right. Yep.
All right. What board game setting would you want to live in for a day or longer if you've got a particular pitch?
Sure.
And I'm going to say not IP based. Because when I first asked this question to myself, I was like, I mean, I could be a Power Ranger for a day, you know?
Sure. I mean, that sounds great, right?
Sure.
This sounds boring, but viticulture?
I knew you were going to say that.
You did?
Yeah.
So viticulture is a game about making wine, but you're on a vineyard. The game is a very good game, but just it sounds so peaceful. The vibe would be great. It would just be so relaxing, just sitting there drinking a nice glass of wine on this absolute beautiful vineyard.
Oh, I see. You'd be one of the customers in this scenario.
Oh no, I would own it all.
Oh, perfect.
And I'd be just trying all of my wines.
There you go. Yeah, I really think for me, it has to be Ark Nova. To be able to run a zoo for a day or more, that would be awesome. And the more I take the kids to the zoo, as I like walk around, I'm like, you know, in a different life, I would have pursued a career in this, taking care of some animal or something. Like, that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
So that would be, for me, that would be definitely a place I would jump into.
That would be cool. Do you have a celebrity lookalike?
I don't think that I really do. I will say that in high school, I was in a theater class and we did a full SNL show and I played the role of Chris Farley's living in a van down by the river and I nailed it. It was to perfection.
Nice.
We built a styrofoam table, and when I fell on it, this thing just like shrapnel just flew everywhere. It was incredible. What
Very
about
nice.
You?
No, I don't think I really, I mean, as a kid, I think everybody, I did kind of look similar to, Frodo Baggins, Elijah Wood, but as an adult, not very much. Like, I do remember I shaved my beard to where, it had no mustache and no chin. And so I definitely look like Hugh Jackman.
Nice. That's a good goal to aspire to be. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely looked like it, but I don't know if I would, I don't know if I really look like him on the normal. I think I do have some facial aspects that he might, but I definitely don't look like him.
Yeah, work out a little more.
That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah, I need to get a lot more shredded.
Yeah, all in good time.
which MCU character would you be if you were an MCU character, Marvel character?
So if you'd have told me this when the MCU came out, I would have laughed at you. I was not a huge Marvel comic guy growing up, but
gotcha.
I thought the idea was cool. I thought Iron Man was great when it came out, but at the time, before I saw the first Avenger, mm-hmm. I had no interest in Captain America. Like, I was just sure that this was a dumb character, but then I went and saw the movie and I fell in love, and Chris Evans has stolen my heart. And I would be Captain America any day.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that would be one of mine. Either that or Iron Man. Just, I remember when it came out and I wanted to be him. So I think I would still be him.
Now, here's the real question. Did you want to be Iron Man or did you want to be Tony Stark?
Iron Man.
Okay.
Flying through the sky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a second answer? I could tell there was something else there, maybe.
Doctor Strange. Okay. Doctor Strange. I love Doctor Strange a lot.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool. I would my fallback is Nick Fury. The guy pulling all the strings. I think that's super cool.
Yeah. So it's a good one.
All right, last one. What is your unpopular Star Wars opinion?
Oh boy.
I can already feel Reddit getting on fire.
Yeah, I already feel the heat. I don't know if this is unpopular or not. You let me know. Rogue One, I think, is one of the best Star Wars movies there is.
I can already tell you that's not unpopular.
It is better than anything that has come out. I think it's better than all...
All right, we might be moving in unpopular territory depending on what you're about to say.
It might be better than all the prequels. It might be better than all the prequels. I didn't really sit down and think about it. It is definitely better than Episode 2. It is somewhat better than Episode 1, except for like the last 20 minutes. So that's the last 20 minutes of Episode 1 are epic. So it's really hard to put it above that just because of that. But I do think it's sitting probably number like 5 overall as far as the rankings goes. Now, shows totally different. I rank those totally different.
Yeah.
But as far as movies, Rogue One is one of my favorites. Out of all of the movies, I think it is phenomenal. I think it makes me, it feels like Star Wars to me. It doesn't feel like some of these newer sequels or whatnot that just didn't feel like Star Wars. It feels like Star Wars to me.
So wait, so obviously you're putting all of the original trilogy as 1, 2 and
yes.
3, but you put Rogue One mm-hmm. as 5. So what else is above Rogue One?
I really like Episode 3. I think it's a very solid Star Wars film.
Okay.
Episode 1 is also, that last like 30 minutes is incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was an interesting take that you just did, because I think by itself, Rogue One is pretty much universally adored by most Star Wars fans. I have like had one person tell me that they thought it was boring. But other than that, everyone else has just really enjoyed it. I see where you're going there. That's fine.
Yeah.
For me, and I don't think this will hit you the same way it would hit a lot of Star Wars fans based on what you just said. For me, I love all of Phantom Menace. I have no issue with Jar Jar Binks. I have no issue with Jake Lloyd as young Anakin Skywalker. I love the Phantom Menace. I think it's a great movie that is full of entertainment, and if you can't get behind 25 minutes of pod racing, you need to search your soul and find some joy.
See, I know I really do like Episode 1. I I on the norm, I would probably rank it ahead of Rogue One. But no, I don't mind. I think most people are kind of iffy on Episode One, though. But yeah, I enjoy it for what it is, for sure.
Episode One gets a lot of hate, I feel like. Yeah. Even in the like the prequel revival. But no, I love Phantom Menace.
It's a solid choice.
And to add to
can't go wrong.
I think I would put it in my top three of my enjoyable Star Wars films.
That's a hot take, bro.
Yes, there it is. Okay.
There's the hot take right there. He just said it. He said it is top three, which means it could be number one, but he won't tell you.
I honestly will say it is not. It is not number one. I can't go that far. But
that would be too far. We might not be friends after you said that.
It's darn good. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's good.
Come
I'm glad
me.
You like it. I do also. I know. It won't be me because I do like it. It's probably sitting like feeling on the day, depending on the day, between four and three and three, four or five, somewhere around
your
there.
Your rankings are wild. We have to do that some point is figure out where your actual rankings are because you were just.
I don't.
What
I
you just said did not make sense.
It depends on my mood. Do I want to watch pod racing? Then it's number one. Hello.
I understand. But there's like
I can't rank it above I can't rank it above four and I can't rank it above episode five.
I feel for all these things, MCU, Star Wars, whatever, that have like these just saga of storytelling over several movies, there's like a when I'm in the mood for this vibe and a definitive ranking vibe.
Sure.
So maybe someday.
If I sat down and actually did it, I'm not in the moment right now though. That's a lot of thought.
That's a big commit.
Yeah, it's a big commit.
And you don't want to mess it up.
No. So with all that.
Yep.
Jared, why do we or you play games? Why do we do this? Why do we love it so much?
Yeah. Why do I spend thousands of dollars on
it? Why do we have a podcast
on?
About it?
And this is the true number one. I love bringing people together. I can't help but want to do that. Even when we played video games, so we played Halo a lot in high school and college. Even when we did that, I enjoyed it so much more when we were bringing over the extra TV and the extra console and playing back to back and everybody was in the same room or in multiple rooms, like screaming at each other. Like bringing people together is such a joy for me. And so getting that opportunity to bring people around the table is the biggest reason why I play games. Don't get me wrong. I love games. I love being able to do epic games of like Star Wars Rebellion, where we have hours of going through a Star Wars conflict all the way down to a quick card game and trying to figure out who the werewolf is and everything in between. I love games, but for me, being able to do that with both new people and people that I've known for years, I always feel like I'm getting to know something new about people. It's a way of bringing people together, and it's something that I believe that everyone can enjoy. It's just a matter of finding that right game and the right atmosphere.
Yeah, that is it. In general, I win some games. I'm not very good at a lot of games. Honestly, some of the games that I'm not good at, I love the most. even Batman, I play the villain. I kind of like, depending on how the game plays, I want the heroes to win. So it's not because I want to, go out there and win every game. I am super competitive. But no, there is something about being in a group of people that you are all sitting down at the table, just communicating and having fun. Some of my best relationships are at the gaming table, and you could talk about life. You can talk about the game. It all comes up throughout all of it. A lot of back and forth, egging on or nagging or name calling, trash talking. It all happens around the game table. And the experiences that you get, especially in a lot of games, cooperative games specifically, it happens a lot where you're all on a team and you're working together towards this goal and something crazy happens and it comes down to the last roll or the last, card or whatever. And those victories as a team, as a group, and I'm using that more specifically as a co-op, but this is all gaming experiences that just investment as a table with, you know, a couple people or six or eight or whatever, that investment is just so cool to watch and be a part of. You'll have those memories forever. Those gaming experiences I've never lost. I've always remembered them, especially when I pull that game back out. I'm like, oh man, I remember that one time I played this game. It came down to this moment and I remember it forever. So it's just something that is always there. And you always, I mean, heck, I remember my first ever Puerto Rico game at the start of this episode. And that was, 15, 16, 17 years ago. So you remember these forever.
Yep.
And that's what's super cool about it. And as we move forward in this podcast, about things that we are looking forward to in this podcast, that's what I want for other people to have, is to have, be able to have those shared experiences either with us or they get to find their own game and their own gaming group, and that they're able to have those experiences that we've had, because I think that's, you're missing out, I think, on a lot of times, if you haven't had these experiences at the table with your family or friends. And so I would love, I mean, in general, that's my goal for moving forward here, is that y'all get to be a part of that and learn and get a slice of our own lives, but also get to find some new games for yourself and get to kind of get a little piece of that. What about you?
Yeah, I would just add to that, because I think you nailed it. I know that this is a weird quasi niche, quasi growing, quasi popular hobby thing going on. And it's hard to know where to get in. It's hard to know what makes sense as far as, well, this is a really good game, but will it ever come out at my table kind of thing? And so there is definitely, I feel like, a learning curve to getting into this hobby. And I just want to be able to facilitate a tool that will help people to know, help figure out what works best for them and their table, like we talk about. And I want people to be able to have those communities around the table where, you know, you find what works for your gaming group and that group continues to grow closer or grow in numbers or both. So that's part of it. I also really enjoy doing this sort of thing. I have a background in, I was going to go into radio or television before life caused a left turn. And so doing things like this is always a joy for me, and it's a good creative outlet. I hope you guys are really enjoying what we're doing, and I want us to be able to grow our community as well. We have some ideas for that, and some things that we want to use to grow and communicate with you all. I'm hoping that by the time this podcast is out or shortly thereafter, we have a full Discord channel put together so that people can start joining that. And we can start talking about games or whatever and just continue to grow in that community, because we really, I think it's so important that we engage one another and continue to grow in relationship. Other than that, I just want to say, something that's really important for both Ian and myself is that we remain very authentic. We don't want to come across like we're just moving through a game just to be able to pump out a review. Like, we take really seriously what we, are looking at and who this might work for and who won't. We also, have the goal. I don't know if we're just being naive at this point and it doesn't actually come to this, but I would love for this podcast to never be sponsored by publishers or have ads added to it. I would love for it to just be a podcast that is an authentic review and resource for people to come to. Now, whether that, you know, is able to be growable, I don't know. But we are certainly going to try, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, no, we give our honest opinion. As you've heard, we haven't been just picking a bunch of games. We just definitely love, and we're only picking good games, and we like every single game. That is not the case.
I mean, you showed with your last episode that a 5.5 is doable. And
that's true.
When I find games I don't like, I am very honest about it. I just happen to like the games that we picked so far. So
sure.
It is very honest. Yeah.
That's our goal and mine, and so to be authentic, and so we will continue to to bring that to you.
Absolutely. Well, I hope this has been at minimum entertaining and at most enlightening. And hopefully, I mean, if you guys like this, let us know. We'll do some more like this on our bonus episodes. Our goal is to keep the featured table review at biweekly. And then we want to get to where we're dropping episodes once a week at least. It's probably all the capacity we have for right now, but we'll kind of see where things go. And so we've got some ideas that we're working on to be able to drop in on the off weeks. And so we will see how it goes.
Perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us. As always, we are so grateful to have had you at our table. If you do have feedback, like I mentioned a minute ago, we would love to hear from you. Both our email and our Instagram page will be linked in the episode description. We would love it if you could take a moment, go review us on whatever iTunes, Apple Podcasts is what it's called now, or on Google Podcasts or Spotify. Please drop us that 5-star rating. We would absolutely appreciate it. And please continue to spread the word. We would love to be able to continue to share with your friends and your rivals and anybody else that you think might benefit from this podcast. As always, we do say thank you to Angie Santiago for the cover art and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed and your experiences at the table to be ones to remember forever. See ya.
Happy gaming, everyone. All right, I'm stopping the recording. That's it.